Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is
Hello, I'm Dr.
Air.
Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Did Trump say our fallen in World War II were losers and suckers? Jerry Goldbrick, for The Atlantic, quotes four anonymous sources to say so. Pelosi exposed as a cheap fake. What a joke. What a very unfunny joke. She presides over the destruction of untold thousands of small business owners in California and across America as Speaker of the House on the pretense that it's their patriotic duty to allow their businesses to be destroyed in order to save lives, right? But as per usual, among the elitist snobs on the left, the San Francisco salon owner had to open her doors for Queen Nancy to come marching in for a blow dry on her precious hair. Against the rules, of course, without a mask, you know, but hey, rules don't apply to royalty. The Kyle Rittenhouse effect. Why does this 17-year-old scare them? The left continues to perpetrate the most egregious fraud against Americans ever in the history of this country. Their evil truly is of biblical proportions. The San Fran sickening of America? Okay, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Well, everybody is talking about the latest outrageous insult dropping from the mouth of a presidential candidate, and not surprisingly, it's not Biden's slander against all Trump supporters, you know, calling them armed militia and really laying on them blame for the riots perpetrated by Soros-funded BLM Antifa Marxist thugs working under the cover of blue state governors and mayors who are protecting them. No, even though we heard Biden say this with our own ears. And recently, what outrageous insult against honorable men from a presidential candidate are we all talking about? Well, something allegedly said 2 years ago, and no one heard him say it. I mean, beyond the anonymous sources referenced in this article, something we are told is a bald-faced lie by multiple persons who were present at the event, people including persons of such integrity as Sarah Huckabee Sanders and others. A story kept secret for 2 years by these anonymous accusers who hide their identity for fear of Twitter reprisals. That's what they said, really. A story conveniently thrown out there on the heels of the release of polls unfavorable to Biden, and on the heels of Biden's own faux pas, accusing Trump supporters for destroying property and lives in the riots. What? We're seeing this, friend. We know what's going on. But what we are talking about nonstop is something the perverse souls of four anonymous, bitter swamp dwellers manufactured in their darkened hearts and vomited out into the public through The Atlantic by the pen of Jeffrey Goldberg. How desperate can you get? Well, we know these devils are smart enough to know Trump's record for supporting the military and honoring their sacrifice on the behalf of liberty is so publicly well known and has been so consistent. Well, surely the rule of our first president, George Washington, deeds, not words, will prevail over the effort to smear him with this latest libel, which is the reason, by the way, as much as possible, they contextualized this new forgery in a historical setting as close as possible to the McCain dust-up. Remember that? Do you remember when Trump chafed at the thought of calling backstabbing McCain a hero? Like many of us at the time, by the way, Trump was sick and tired of McCain shielding himself from political fallout for his lurches to the left by throwing up his self-styled persona as a maverick and then, you know, calling for sympathy as a former POW. Trump said, in his opinion, that McCain was not a war hero, and that he quipped something to the effect, "I like people that weren't captured." Earlier in 1999, Trump was exploring a bid for the Reform Party nomination to run for president, and John McCain was at that time challenging Bush too in a bid for the Republican nomination for the office of president. And during an interview with Rather, John McCain was mentioned and something about his status as an American hero and so on. And Trump said, well, he was captured. Does being captured make you a hero? I don't know. I'm not sure. And that was at a time, by the way, when no one would call me a Trump fan. And I remember looking at this and said, effectively, Trump is right. Just because someone got captured, that doesn't automatically make him or her a hero. I mean, it would depend on his or her actions that led to his or her capture and his or her actions during captivity, would it not? And frankly, McCain's record is, it's not without controversy. Now, here's an article from 2010 you should read. And I've got it referenced in my notes that you can get from our website. brainmassage.net. It's impossible not to believe McCain was hiding something. Nothing else explains his consistent and, how shall I say it, vicious opposition to anything that would lead to a release of records that would expose the truth about the POW experience, because there were many allegations that some were left behind, that McCain, an admiral's son, might have received special treatment when allegations were raised about McCain's forced anti-American statements. You see, you forget about all that. All right? When two other grunts along with McCain were charged with him. So, you know, and they, by the way, didn't get treated so well, right? As this article puts it, they weren't so lucky. So you see what I mean? And we have noticed how often Trump seems to be aware of his environment when expressing his opinions. Can anyone spell tweak the media or tweak the left? So Trump made some comments about McCain that resonated, frankly, with a lot of us. I, too, was getting sick and tired of McCain's disappointing crawfishing, pretending it was about him being a maverick. Yeah, he was always a maverick for the other side, you know? Right? And then shielding himself from retaliation by wrapping himself up in a POW flag. And I have a real soft spot for POWs. I hope you understand that, but which is part of why I was so frustrated with McCain for a period of time there. He was like fighting against us. When many who were concerned about the POW scandal felt betrayed by McCain, who was blocking every effort for us to get to the truth about our POWs. So you see, Mr. Goldbrick, yeah, it isn't so simple as you make it out to be in your article. And you know what? I know you know better. So when this latest brouhaha burst out, it's a great word, by the way, one of those words that sounds like what it means, brouhaha. I love it. Anyway, when this latest noisy exaggerator response to an idle report supported only by anonymous accusers hiding in the dark, you know, I knew that the intention was to resurrect this cavil used before to attack Trump. And that I would need to remind my friends of the truth about all of that. Trump only said what a great many of us at that time were already feeling about McCain. And if you think about it in this context, may I ask you, does getting captured automatically make someone a hero? Well, you know, as Trump said, maybe. I don't know. That's a perfect answer. But to suggest Trump considers our military men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice to be suckers and losers, I think I'll go with what I've seen Trump do over anything the left tries to tell me Trump said. How about you? There's no way the Soros-controlled deep state apparatchiks in corporate media can believe that anyone with sense will believe this obvious lie. I mean, other than the Marco Polo crowd, no time to explain, or the children that dance to their Pied Pipers again, no time to explain. Corporate media today work to shape public opinion, not inform public opinion. And when it's impossible to control the narrative, they use a tactic that I'll call diversionary news. They change the subject. They're clever at diversion. I must believe that this is a diversion. The intent is not to inform or enlighten. The intent is to change the topic of discussion. Friend, there's no way even the most radicalized liberal thinks this is going to stick. But that's not the point. The point is to get us all talking about something else, to present a competing story that is noisy enough and effective enough to attract attention away from the truly damning stories that our popping up out there all around them. Man, they're surrounded right now. You see, the truth, long beaten down into the streets, is struggling to rise to its feet. So just in time to counter the good news coming out, you know, only 6% of those included in the total number of COVID deaths actually died of COVID alone. And that does mean something. 94% of all COVID deaths recorded were people who had what they call comorbidities. Now, isn't that a great word? Let's just call it pre-existing conditions, you know, that were killing them anyway. Now, we don't know how many with these pre-existing sicknesses died because they contracted COVID on top of them. And we don't know how many died of other causes, but because they happened to test positive for COVID somewhere along the way, they got thrown into the count of those who died from COVID. See, dying with it is not the same thing as dying from it. Remember when Fauci and Burke made the announcement right out front of God and everybody that they were going to change the way they counted COVID deaths? They were going to use a new system, a method they'd never used before. They never counted other viral deaths in the way they were going to start counting them. We did not understand at the time the significance of it. Well, I did. Actually, if you're a brain masseur regular, you were apprised of it when it happened. But that was, in my mind, a clear announcement of their intent to defraud the American people, to enhance the death count for some political reason. They claimed it was a medical reason to make certain we got an accurate count of the number of COVID cases, fearful that some might die with COVID because of another disease was determined to be the leading cause of death, and so it would go uncounted. That's what they told us that they were trying to avoid. They could create a category for that. They didn't have to lie to us. And it's important that we know how many people contracted the disease, they said. Well, why? Why would that be so important that you have to change the rules that you've used consistently? Anyway, you get the point. But I saw through it and I said, look out, they're going to fake the numbers. I knew it right then. And then we began learning hospitals were incentivized to gin up the COVID counts. We learned such pressure was put on medical workers to work up the numbers. They were just quitting in frustration and desperate and depression. And some were becoming seriously alarmed that people were being rushed onto these ventilators prematurely because rules were changed on that too. You say, why? All right, other things were going on, like governors who forced nursing homes not equipped to handle COVID-positive cases to admit them anyway, and they were told not to, and it resulted in thousands of our elderly being killed by political homicide. That's what we'll call it. That's what Newsom, Cuomo, Wolf, and Whitmer did. They committed political homicide against the elderly in their states. The blue state Dems are guilty of malfeasance, using the power of their office to perpetrate a fraud on the people of their state. And it's all about an election, my friend. It's all about power. So, you know, this good news comes out, and then other good news too, by the way. Trump's approval rating back up to 52%, which is where it was before the China virus attack. He's picking up endorsements from Democrat mayors. Yeah, I think I found an article that revealed 5 Democrat mayors of what state was that? I forget. That might have been Wisconsin. Anyway, are going to vote for, have come out and said we're going to vote for Trump. Labor unions, police organizations are all endorsing Trump. The police are almost 100% behind him, even in cities like New York and Chicago, where those police are coming right out in defiance of their blue leadership. The people are seeing through the Democrat game. Destroy the economy, make people miserable and afraid. That's what they're trying to do. They are counting on the old yarn about people tend to vote out the incumbents when they go to the polls unhappy. So these manipulative political monsters are out trying to make us as miserable as they can make us, thinking that that's going to get us angry at Trump. Because people tend to blame how they feel on their politicians holding office at the time of an election. But God has helped us. And it's becoming clear that the American people in the main are not mesmerized by the kaleidoscope parade of Soros pipers distorting reality with their lies. Americans are not in the main cowered in fear, but instead they're getting angry and they're getting fed up. Americans are standing up, and like the parent who's had enough, puts their foot down, says, okay, children, that's it. Well, it's time for the adults in California and in America to stand up and just tell these petulant children to put an end to this nonsense. And on October 9th, a group of pastors are going to gather on the steps in Sacramento to make a statement like that, only probably with a little more class. So you see, good news for America is bad news for Democrats, right? And actually, that's been for a long time. Now, Rush called that out back in the early 90s. I got to take a short break. Folks, I've gone a bit long in this segment. We're going to skip the break and just roll right along.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your
mind. Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Shai Bach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps to the church belfry art, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. The other thing we can't stop talking about is the fake pious Pelosi posturing and pretense. Pretension. That's the ugliest woman in America today. I used to think she was just stupid. Now look up the word, you know, its definition and understand how I'm using it. But now I know she is both stupid and evil. Now I've brought it out before. Unreasonableness is the spawn of wickedness. Lovers of darkness hate truth. Pelosi exposed as a cheap fake. What a joke. A very unfunny one, my friends. She presides over the destruction of untold thousands of small business owners in California and across America with her pious pretense about it being our patriotic duty, you know, our basic love for our fellow man, to allow our businesses to be destroyed and to choke ourselves to death with these stupid masks in order to save lives, you know, curb the spread and all that. But as per usual, among the elitist snobs on the left, the San Francisco salon owner was, well, let's just say, encouraged by Pelosi to open her doors for Queen Nancy to come marching in for a blow dry. Against the rules, right? Contrary to all the rules. But of course, the rules don't apply to royalty. I remember my visits to Russia in the early 90s. Russians' constant complaint was that the people making decisions that affected their lives were never required to live under the conditions created by those decisions. Now, here's a rule. Any law passed by lawmakers must apply equally to everyone, including them. Salon owners ought to be able to sue Pelosi for malfeasance, for abuse of power. And whenever a public official violates a law that they put upon others, the penalty ought to be double on them. Triple. What a trouble, any fine or jail time that they should immediately be required to forfeit their office, to my mind, is just as obvious as can. And it ought to happen today. Pelosi resigned. Forget it. You're fired. Fire her on November 3rd. Let's all stand up to being bullied by that wicked woman and the rest of this crowd. And let's just say resoundingly this November, you're fired. Wouldn't that be fun? That would definitely be a token of respect to our president if we just stood up to these Democrats and said, "You're fired." She would make all of us miserable, but like Jesus chastised the lawyers, the lawmakers of his day. They lay heavy burdens on everyone else, but would not so much as touch one of those burdens with their fingers. Quote, and he said, "Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers." Luke 11:46. That's Pelosi. But God keeps the books, friends, and his records are complete. And you, Pelosi, will be held to account for your wickedness. You will not speak to God as you do to the people. You will not play your little games with him. You won't turn it around on somebody else, you know. No, Pelosi, this is on you. You did this. Trying to cast blame on the salon owner only adds to your shame and to your judgment. How does that excuse you, by the way? How is it okay for you to condemn Trump for failing to set the right example, in your opinion, and wear a mask for which you said, you know, he said he's killing people by his irresponsible leadership, and you apparently believing that very thing? You understand what I'm saying? You're telling me that's what you believe, and then you would do this? You would sacrifice the lives of others by your evil and bad example? And then try to blame the salon owner? Friend, I think the mask thing is a bunch of nonsense anyway. I've spoken to it many times. I've got even more recent studies where I've gone over it again and again, and I want to make sure I haven't missed something. Yeah, I'm acting on with regard to the science about it. I've read the studies. I've looked at this from every conceivable angle. A mask is not protecting you. So Pelosi might say, well, then, you see, I didn't expose anyone to harm. What? You have destroyed hundreds of businesses, and you have perpetrated fear and promulgated panic in the state with your lies about the mask. And then you have the audacity to go to a salon closed by your own rules and regulations and have it open just for you so you can get your hair dried? Nuts! You're fired! Maybe if you had humbled yourself and admitted what you did was wrong and that it was a misstep for which you are truly sorry. No. Who's going to believe you? Who would believe anyone so foolish as to tell the American people, we have to pass the bill into law before we can know what's in it? We know what a devious liar you are. But you're over the top, evil woman. Be gone. That wasn't mere stupidity. That was an insult to our intelligence. You don't have the excuse of being stupid. You have the audacity of pride to assume that we are. But I've got to wind it up, and I've got about 10 more really great brain massage insights I want to fire at you. But anyway, I'll conclude our time together with this. I want you to pray about voter fraud, of course, and also about techno fraud. The Dems intend to steal the upcoming election. It's a party that today is controlled by people who have no moral compunction. I mean, not in the way that you and I understand it. The Democrats today are a party under the control of an ideology that says, effectively, power is righteousness. They believe might makes right. They believe the inverted golden rule, you know, that people have played with in the past. Whoever has the gold makes the rules. But they have put a new and even more devious twist on that. Now they say, whoever makes the rules holds the gold. So they're going to attempt to steal this election through direct voter fraud. An ICE investigation recently concluded with charges brought against 19 who are here in this country illegally for committing voter fraud in the 2016 election. Almost daily, we hear about hundreds of ballots being sent to people that don't exist or that have moved away or whatever. The Democrats want to use the China virus to justify taking away virtually all of our rights. I mean, you try to name an inalienable right that they haven't tried to use this virus to take away from us, including the right to worship in our churches, to sing praises to our God in public assembly. So you pray for our friend, Dr. Treiber, and pray for MacArthur, and pray for McCoy and some of these others, and pray for those pastors that have not yet been molested by health departments and all that nonsense. Pray for them. Pray that God will deliver us from this egregious encroachment upon our basic and fundamental rights. And it's not about science. I proved that. And I'm hoping somehow in one of these cases or another, they can work that into the record. Listen, friend, a ballot polluted by fraudulent votes diminishes every legitimate vote cast. Voter fraud disenfranchises the Americans from one of their most sacred of all political rights and protections, the right to have their vote counted in an honest election. And by the way, that's the only thing that we're asking for. But there's another danger now. Not only do we have the danger of these governors sending out millions and millions of ballots just indiscriminately to everybody, so that there are hundreds and hundreds and even thousands, perhaps tens of thousands of votes that could be harvested by the Democrats who don't mind lying and cheating to get what they want and then using those ballots to cast fake ballots. But there's another danger, techno fraud, in a manner similar to how Burke and Fauci told us about their plan. I mean, right out loud in front of God and everybody, they told us about their plan to, in my opinion, falsify the COVID death count by changing the rules governing how death certificates are completed, totally tip their hand. I mean, right? Well, the social media giants, Google and Facebook, particularly, and Twitter, have virtually declared their intention to block news getting to you that is favorable to one party over another one. They have decided that they will determine what news you should get and what news should be suppressed. Oh, they hide it behind all kinds of pious gas bag nonsense like, well, we're just going to suppress false news and we're going to enhance proper news. What business is it of theirs to decide for us what's false news, what's proper news? Who have these people made themselves to be in our lives? Who do they think that they are? I don't have time to develop this as I plan to. I'm going to simply give a personal experience that happened during show preparation today, and then I'll probably address it a little more tonight in our visit. By the way, go to the Lighthouse Baptist Church Facebook page and like that page, and then set your notifications to be notified when we go live, because I do a thing called Comfort and Counsel for the Present Distress, where we talk about stuff. It's a much more casual situation. When the fake news came out about Trump supposedly calling World War II wounded and dead soldiers losers and suckers, give me a break. I knew this would dredge up the old Trump says McCain's not a hero thing. And I knew that's what they were trying to do. And that it would be used as a backdrop to provide some credibility to this new charge, this new allegation. So I Googled Trump, McCain not a hero. I got 11 pages of hits on my search. Through Google, by the way, Google search engine. I didn't get one single article about the 1999 interview with Rather. Every single article was a current one, slamming Trump for calling war heroes losers and suckers. And my friend, there were hundreds of them, 11 pages. I think my settings allow for 25 hits per page. And there were 11 pages right there. And I went through those 11 pages, but I couldn't keep going. I jumped, skipped ahead to 20 pages or something like that, 30, 37, I think it was. And it was the same thing. Good night. So I'm thinking, what in the world? In other words, actually, several things occurred to me. First, clearly, Google decided to inundate me with news that provided the slant on that topic that they wanted to push. And then, because not one of those, in those first 11 pages I looked, not one of them was supportive of Trump. Every one of them was flat fired at Trump, man, I'm telling you. And second, how could this many articles have been all ready to go on this so quickly? I mean, I guess that's possible, but it, you know, this came out today. Oh, by the way, and I tried another search engine, and I went and I did the same exact phrase, and even though it gave me one or two of these others, because there's a relationship, obviously, with these two things, but it went to what it is I asked about, and right there, within three down, was an article that I was looking for. But I saw a Glenn Beck episode exposing Google, and I've tested it, and it's true. You Google something, say, you know, bad news for Hillary, whatever, Google returns only articles favorable or sympathetic to Hillary. You try the same thing for Trump, and you're going to get overwhelmed with all kinds of hits. They're happy to give you all of that, right? Use another search engine. You type bad news for Hillary, you get hundreds of articles negative about Hillary, because there are plenty of them out there. It's stunning. The algorithms are written, obviously, in a way to suppress news Google doesn't want you to get and to enhance news they want you to see. And I heard them say that's their objective. They word it differently. They word it saying we want to make sure people get real news and that fake news doesn't get enhanced. Okay? They're just like Pelosi, a bunch of pious gas bags who think they think for you. Friend, this is happening right now. It's not something they're planning to do. They're doing it. If you want to do some real critical research on any subject, especially coming through this election, you're going to need to use multiple search engines. I don't say never use Google. You might as well see what they're up to, but you should use other search engines. That's what I do. Any news contradicting political correct standards of Facebook, which generally model after the left, well, that's fake news. That's not consistent with the consensus. Give the people the opportunity to share freely information with one another and trust the people to decide. But anyway, I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.